Thank you. All glories to the Sangha devotees. All glories to the Sangha devotees. All glories to the Sangha devotees. So we're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam. We've started the second chapter, or the second canto, The Lord in the Heart. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, text two, we can read the transliteration together. Shabdasya of the Vedic sound, he, everyone say it together, he certainly, Brahmana of the Vedas, Eshaha, these, Pantaha, the way, Yat, what is, Namabhi, by different names, Jayati, ponders, Dihi, intelligence, Aparata, by meaningless ideas, Paribrahma, wandering, Tatra, there, Na, never, Vindate, enjoys, Artan, realities, Maya Maya, illusory things, Vasanaya, by different desires, Shayanaha, as if dreaming in sleep. Shabdasya hi brahmana esha pantaha. Yanama vidyayati dir apartai. Hari brahman stachra na vindate ritan. Maya maye vasanaya shayanaha. Please chant. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. The way of presentation of the Vedic sounds is so bewildering that it directs the intelligence of the people to meaningless things like the heavenly kingdoms. The conditioned souls hover in dreams of such heavenly illusory pleasures, but actually they do not relish any tangible happiness in such places. Purport. The conditioned soul is always engaged in laying out plans for happiness within the material world, even up to the end of the universal limit. He is not even satisfied with available amenities on this planet, Earth, where he has exploited the resources of nature to the best of his ability. He wants to go to the moon or the planet Venus to exploit resources there. But the Lord has warned us in Bhagavad Gita 8:16 about the worthlessness of all the innumerable planets of this universe, as well as those planets within other systems. There are innumerable universes and also innumerable planets in each of them, but none of them is immune to the chief miseries of material existence, namely the pangs of birth, the pangs of death, the pangs of old age, and the pangs of disease. The Lord says that even the topmost planet known as the Brahmaloka or Satyaloka, and what to speak of other planets like the heavenly planets, is not a happy land for residential purposes due to the presence of material pangs, as above mentioned. Conditioned souls are strictly under the laws of fruitive activities, and as such they sometimes go up to Brahmaloka and again come down to Patalaloka, as if they were unintelligent children on a merry-go-round. The real happiness is in the kingdom of God, where no one has to undergo the pangs of material existence. Therefore, the Vedic ways of fruitive activities for the living entities are misleading. One thinks of a superior way of life in this country or that, or on this planet or another, but nowhere in the material world can he fulfill his real desire of life, namely eternal life, full intelligence, and complete bliss. Indirectly, Srila Sukadeva Goswami confirms that Maharaj Pariksit in the last stage of life should not desire to transfer himself to the so-called heavenly planets, but should prepare himself for going back home, back to Godhead. None of the material planets, nor the amenities available there for living conditions, is everlasting. Therefore, one must have a factual reluctance to enjoy such temporary happiness as they afford. Some more excellent guidance in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're just starting this chapter. The first chapter is the first step. So Srila Prabhupada has given us a lot of information of how we can engage in a practice, which is engaging our external senses and our mind, seeing Krishna in the universal form. But that also, it humbles us to see that great form and all the wonderful things in it, so that we can actually begin to realize our real position as very small and insignificant, and how great the Lord is. So therefore, we're ready for the next step of actually surrendering to that Lord. But it's a long path. So now we're learning how to take a second step, but it's quite a big step, really, because we're actually having to go from external to internal, which is not easy for us to actually go within, especially all the way to the heart. Some of us feel like we don't even have a heart sometimes. But the Lord has been so kind that he's remained there through all these births and deaths. And he's anxious for us to look his way. So now we're learning how important it is to go internally and to start to remember and direct our attention to the Supreme Lord. So we should be very grateful that he's willing to connect with us again. We left our position as an eternal servant, loving servant to Krishna. Somehow or other, we made the mistake of wanting to be the Supreme Lord ourselves. Therefore, Krishna had to go to some little bit of trouble, snap his finger, and create this material world, as it's very nicely described in the purport here, of all the different pains that get us from every direction. And so we have this big jailhouse where we're coming to become corrected and hopefully change our attitude so that we want to go back to him. And he's very willing to help us, which is a good thing. So right now, we are simply trying to engage our mind in somehow or other thinking of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, in the prison house, I used to work at the jail here doing some outreach. And they're not called jails anymore. They're called correctional institutions because they're hoping to change you. They're hoping that somehow or other you can change their mentality and their attitude to become, decent, law-abiding citizens. It could fit into the society. But our attitude has been so corrupted by just coming into this material world that it's very ugly. And no one likes to live with a person who has conceit in their heart, who has envy. And so there's a lot of work that goes on in the jail to try to fix this consciousness. Because when we first came here, we had that enjoying mood, but very quickly, sanctions were thrown on us. We've been hearing this word sanctions a lot. If you look at the newspaper, listen to the news at all, that sanctions are hurdles that you have to go over that set you back. And so we immediately found out that I have limitations. There's conditions being thrown on me here in the material world. And we find that actually this is not the place where we really belong. And so we find out now we're simply here in the material world hankering and lamenting. That's pretty much our occupation, is trying to get what we want in happiness and then lament that we don't have it. I think it's the Declaration of Independence that says that we have the right to pursue happiness. And so we're all pursuing like crazy, figuring out how we can work and work and work and work to get that happiness to our heart's discontent. Because we work and we work and we're never satisfied, we never get it. Although we're promised it. We're promised we can work hard, and that's what we do. And that's what this material world is all about in this prison house. But there's been many great escape artists throughout the millions of years trying to escape, because the intelligent person will see that this is a rip-off here. I've got to get out of this situation. Even if you're, intelligent, you'll want to escape. But there's been some people here, some of it's described here, that they want to get out. And so we can see, like Ravana, what did he do? Tried to build a staircase. I don't know if he was paving it or building wood or what, but he tried to build a staircase to get out of the pangs of the material world and go a little higher. I don't know how far he got, but he probably didn't have a very construction manager there. But he didn't make it. And then we think of the Mayavadis. They have a very special mystic ability to just go hide in the Brahmajyoti. They think they're going to get out this way. I'm just going to hide here in this effulgence. And then the Buddhists, what do? They have a vanishing act, right? They just poof. I'm not here. I don't exist. Nothing exists. This is their wish-fulfilling desire that I just vanish. It's too much. And then we have the mystic yogis. The mystic yogis, they try to transcend by their meditation, go to other planets, go to a better place. But they come back again, as it's described here, that merry-go-round, up and down, like silly children supposedly having fun, going around in circles and up and down. But they all come back. And then we have the classic Pondraka, who thought he was going to actually become God, be God. This was his disguise, his masquerade act. But Krishna saw right through it and sawed right through his head and got rid of him. So these acts are still going on now. We're trying to escape in different ways. Intoxication, trying to escape in that way. trying to escape on our phones, playing stupid games, and virtual world upon virtual world, and you don't even know that you exist. You don't know what exists. Is money real? Anyway, it's crazy, the virtual world. And then we have competition of the billionaires. Now we have them trying to go with their fancy millions of dollars of Sputniks, and they're going to different planets, just like it's describing here. Brahmana, Brahmana Loka. From the highest to the lowest, and trying to go the very highest. Prabhupada mentions Venus. I think that's really far out there, right? But they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. They have to come back. And they just waste all their money and their whole lifetime in this endeavor. And so many people are trying to just make things a little bit better. If they can't escape, let's at least make it better. Right now, we're just about at the end of our 2 weeks of spring here in Florida. We had 2 months of winter and 2 weeks of spring, and now, by the end of this week, it'll be summer. But we have nice green grass. And we had some escape artists just last week that were looking for greener grass, something better. All of a sudden, I got, nope, the cows were out. So go over there. Two had escaped because they know that where they had to be there for the festival, so they were close. But the best field is over here. And sure enough, they know it. Yep, it's grass is greener over there. So they escaped. And then only two escaped. And the others were sitting there mooing, you know, we got to get out of here too. And we got those back in. And then a few hours later, the others rattled the gate. They know how to do it. They rattled the gate. They got it apart from the floor, and they escaped. And their tails are up in the air, and they're heading over to the greener grass. And even though they're in the best pasture, which is unlimited green grass, they stick their head out of the fence to get that little piece that looks just a little bit greener, right? And they get their horns tangled in it. So they can't get out. They can't figure out how to get out. And some of them have really curly horns, you know, so they get really frustrated. And then the poles come down, the fences come down. And so this is the same thing. We're sticking our head out, trying to find a little bit greener, a little bit better grass, and we're getting entangled more and more into our karma, into sinful activities, things that we don't want to do. And very complex. And then we have to come back again to the material world. When I was working at the jail, I noticed that their clothes were color-coded. And the ones that were in red were actually very dangerous. And they have to always have someone right next to them, and usually their hands are cuffed when they're walking around the halls. And this is like the conditioning of the poor fallen souls that are here, that are in jail, that these are the very much ignorant persons who are trying to retaliate against the pangs, and they're pointing the finger at everybody else, and it's not me, it's all of you, and they get in trouble by trying to make it better for their own selves. And they suffer again and again and again. They dig their hole deeper and deeper. Actually, some of them have a cone on their head. And I said, what is that? It's like when your dog gets sick or something and you don't want them to lick the soil, they put a cone around their head. These people have cones around their head. I go, what? And they say it's because they're so angry, everybody, that they spit at the officers. So they have to put this cone around their head. And then there's the normal inmates, which have the orange and the yellow, for the orange and blue for the men and for the women. And they're caught into the system. They're like in the mode of passion. And they're having to be into this reform situation where they have to take classes. And the main class that they're all required to take is anger management. Because as in Bhagavad Gita it says that, first of all, there's contemplation of the senses, and then you get attached, and you get lusty, and then you get angry. And so these people are very passionate. so many people are so passionate that they get angry, they can't control their senses, they get in big trouble after their anger, and they end up for brutal actuality, especially women. So this is something that we have to, deal with ourselves, is the anger. And then there's the persons in the white, and you see them walking around kind of by themselves. And they're cleaning this, and they fold the laundry, and they do some responsible things. They're actually a little bit trusted. This is like the mode of goodness, that people are, they're trying. They're trying to be reformed, and they promise to be good, and somehow or other they get this little bit of freedom. And if they're really intelligent, then they would, of course, take to the process of going deeper, like it's describing here, going into the super soul in that time, looking and getting some direction from inside. And then there's the suicidal place where I would go sometimes. And pretty much there at the end of after lust, anger, then bewilderment. So bewildered that they just pretty much just sleep. And the whole highlight of the day of all the inmates is when they get their meds. They all line up for the medication to get some relief. And we see that's what's happening now. The entertainment world, all these things, they're just some medication to numb us from these pains. And sometimes, once I was at this prison over here and a tornado came by. It just came from nowhere, and it actually blew part of the roof off where I was having an engagement, and playing the harmonium and chanting, and all of a sudden this big white thing came, and I go, what's going on? And part of the roof flew off, and they called everyone to lockdown. So everyone had to go inside, they didn't want to lose anybody. So sometimes we feel like Kali Yuga is so heavy that we're all in a lockdown. We've all had some experience now of what lockdown's like, you know? When nobody's in the temple, you're speaking to the walls. Not a nice thing. Very, just horrible situation being locked out. But then the relief. The relief for Kali Yuga is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. That he comes and he offers something that everyone can take part in. No matter what mode, you can take part and engage in this chanting of Hare Krishna. Which is like a therapy for us. I don't know if any of you have ever had therapy, but there's all kinds of therapy for mental, spiritual, physical therapy. But it's meant to give some relief, because being here in the material world, as all inmates, we all are, we get beat up, we get bruised and hurt very deeply. So this Maha Mantra, this gift of Lord Chaitanya, is actually the therapy that we all need within our hearts to adjust our consciousness again. When I was in the jail, I met a Christian man, and he had a halfway house, and it was very successful. He would take the people that were Christian inclined, they would be required to go to this house when they got out, and they were given jobs to learn their responsibility and work their way back into society. And at the same time, they would have their prayers in the morning. And so this society, Krishna consciousness, that Prabhupada made so intelligently is that halfway house where we come here and we're trying to adjust back into our original consciousness. And so therefore, in the very beginning, we learn this dovetailing system where we still have desires, but we can gradually learn how we can do everything for Krishna. It's so wonderful. We can take those desires and direct them in a different way, which is very satisfying to our heart's content, not discontent. And so this art of bhakti is a wonderful thing, and it works. It's a means of getting us gradually out of this jail. Therefore, we need, because it is difficult, we need Krishna's trained officers to help us, and that's Srila Prabhupada and all the spiritual masters, that they actually can guide us out. And they're so merciful that they pay the bond. They pay the bond to get us out, and they get us out on parole, and because they say, this person is sincere. They want to get out. So please give them that chance. And Prabhupada helps us in so many ways, giving us guidance. And this purification process begins to work. And we can see that we learned how to begin to gradually go from dovetailing to some more purity of learning how to do up to the point of causeless devotional service, of being selfless. It can actually take us all the way to the point of pure bhakti, which is a gradual process, but it is possible for all of us. In the Bhagavad Gita, it mentions that he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. Declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, and Sudras, they can attain the supreme destination. He says, how much more this is so of righteous Brahmins, the devotees and the saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. And Prabhupada in the purport says that no one should remain in this temporary world full of its miseries. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that he can be eternally happy. The devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the only process by which all problems of all classes of men can be solved. Everyone should therefore take to Krishna consciousness and make his life perfect. So this is the perfect escape. These other processes that are mentioned here in the purport, they're not going to really work. Immediately we get some higher taste in Krishna consciousness, and the desire grows that we want to get out of here more and more, and we take to it more sincerely. Because none of us belong here. None of us belong here. We're trying to make it fit. Maybe the women can identify with it more, but you see this really nice outfit, and you really want to fit. And even though it's not your size, you try to get into it and make it fit so it, because you really want it. So we've been trying to fit into 8,400,000 species of life, into our roach body. It just didn't fit. We weren't belong in our roach body. And then we tried the spider body, and then we tried this body and that body. And it's just not the right fit. And it's an expensive cost. How many lives we've had to do this? I asked in the prison how much it cost for each person daily. This was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, $60 a day. So it's probably about $100 days every single person that's in that jail we are paying for. But we're paying the price, birth after birth, of being in this prison. So it's time that we take Lord Chaitanya's offer, free of charge, chant Hare Krishna, get out of here, and you can deliver everybody else too, you can free them. So it's really what we need. And then we begin to feel that we fit in, that we fit into bhakti. I immediately felt like, wow, yeah, this is it. I'm not God. I'm actually supposed to serve God. And then I was asked, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? Sure, I can. Yeah, tell me how. I'll do it. I'll do it. And they're still asking me to do things, so I can't leave because there's so much to do. So it's because we fit in. We were meant to do everything to Krishna because it's so satisfying. And so this is a wonderful a way that we can open up our arms, and Krishna's been having his arms open for a long time in our heart, where we can embrace him and begin to develop again the real freedom of a loving relationship with Krishna. I don't know if you all listen to the news, but I do kind of daily just to see what's happening. And this war over in Ukraine and Russia and everything, it just like completely bewildering how they are fighting and dying for freedom. You can't be free when you're dead, you know. And when you're killing people, are you feeling free killing people? It's erroneous to think that this is what they think is freedom, and it's all because of bodily identification. And that bodily identification, that so-called fight for freedom, is just going to bind them into another material body. And they're going to probably be on the other side fighting them the other side, you know? So where is the freedom? Our real freedom is when we can fight Maya and actually get rid of her. And Krishna will call her off so that we can experience the real freedom of serving. But first we have to prove, we have to admit our guilt. And that's hard to do on Sankirtan. People don't want to admit that they're guilty of forgetting Krishna and thinking that they're God. It's hard to admit that, but it's a wonderful feeling when you do. And there's evidence, every single person, every single living entity that has a form, that's evidence that you've forgotten Krishna. You're guilty. And the witness is the sun, the moon, Krishna, everyone knows it. But if you can admit it, that's the first step. And then, if you're real stubborn and you can't admit to this, then of course Yamaraj, the supreme judge, he'll tally all the karma and all the consciousness and the desires of the time of death, and then you'll have to come back again. But Krishna, when he sees a little spark that, yes, I'm humble myself and I'm willing to admit that I was wrong in thinking that I can enjoy without you, then he sends us the topmost lawyer, the spiritual master, and that master can, of course it's Sri Prabhupada, he can invoke the mercy of the judge. And he can say, look, this person, he's agreed to follow Krishna's instructions, he's agreed to clean up his act, he's forgiving, he's actually been initiated, or he's made that promise that he's going to stay on the path of bhakti. And so the judge is considering, this sounds like it might be very serious. And then the guru will say, I have extra evidence, clinching evidence. Look, how many years he's been chanting 16 rounds. Look at how many years he's been following the four rules and regulations. And then he pulls out of his hat the greatest evidence that he's taken prasadam. Right? So everyone who's taken prasadam, at least you can't put him back into an animal birth. At least he's going to be a human being. So this is the mercy of the spiritual master, that we should beg for his mercy all the time and follow his instructions flawlessly so that he can put in that final word for us so that we can escape these pangs of misery. So we pray that we can keep our vows, and we should renew those vows every day, especially when we're chanting. We should realize that this chanting is a therapy, is the escape from misery. No matter what's happening in our lives, we can always go back to the holy name. So this is a few thoughts. Maybe someone else can add something.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for such a beautiful and meaningful class, easy to remember, and shockingly real. The extended metaphor of the prison is all too real.
Yeah.
And just making that parallel is motivating to think about how we're on probation now. When you were talking about how we get an opportunity through a counselor to have a reprieve and actually make a go of it, it made me think of how important it is to be good and do everything that we can. You also mentioned how the sun and moon are watching. There's so many witnesses. Mm. So if we're good and we try to really sincerely take the process, then everybody knows it in the universe practically. If we don't, then we're the only ones that we're fooling.
In regards to that, when you're on parole, sometimes they put a leg band on you so that if you wander off, they catch you. So Prabhupada, he puts our neck beads on us. And he makes a society all around us with wonderful devotees, advanced devotees, to say, don't go there, don't go there, don't try that. No, you've already been there, done that. Just stay right here. So that is our leg band, so we should never take them off. One time, Prabhupada was going by the kitchen in L.A. when it used to be, right before he got to the... he was on the way to do that golden avatar. He looked in the kitchen, he saw a girl rolling chapatis or something without neck beads. And he said, immediately take her out of the kitchen and put neck beads on her. So, yeah, this is our dog tag. Yes? Steve,
I got a question about relative freedom. No question in this crowd, we all appreciate that the fullest manifestation of freedom is in bhakti. That's when it's fully manifest. But then you also see within the conditional realm there's relative degrees of freedom. I mean, you use that prison metaphor. I mean, in a minimum security prison, you can go, devotees can come and have a little program. Whereas if you're in solitary confinement or some maximum security prison, you ain't going to get that, maybe by design. So similarly, you may see some cultures, you can actually take up the process of bhakti, relatively without harassment. Whereas, I don't know if you could do that, let's say, in North Korea, or Syria, or maybe Iran, So there's different gradations of, it's not full freedom, but, there's three modes. Mode of goodness is more facility, passion, some facility, ignorance, and maybe not so much. So, this relative, these people, they get enamored by these ideas. There's relative merit to them. But their fullest manifestations in bhakti is no question. So anyways, that was a thought that went by.
We should be so thankful that we can chant Hare Krishna and take this process. And if we can deliver the holy name, then they can take that where they are and experience the freedom of the holy name. You want to say something?
Yeah.
Just say it loud.
I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for such a wonderful class. As my husband said, the metaphors and all. And I never get a chance to speak to you personally, and I don't know you personally, but you've always been an inspiration to me, and I very much appreciate your service attitude, your abilities, and your loyalty to Srila Prabhupada. And I just wanted to express that.
You put a shackle on me and I can't get it off. I don't want to get it off.
Just in regards to
Stitadi
Prabhu's comment, may I? Mm-hmm. Just that oftentimes devotees who are in oppressed situations do quite well. In fact, in China, I have sort of an inside view into what the devotees do. They're highly restricted there. That is the Chinese government. They monitor what goes on calls like Zoom and so forth. They actually check in to see if anybody's using words like God or anything related to organizing something spiritual, and they'll edit it. Nonetheless, the devotees find innovative ways to go around that. They have smaller groups, and then they record those, and they pass them out clandestinely so that everybody gets to know it. And also, not to be too esoteric, but in the Rasa dance, the gopis who couldn't leave and go into the forest with Krishna, actually, our acharyas mentioned they made even more advancement, in that they were restricted and their desire increased. So even in the most restricted places in the world, the devotees prevail, because devotional service, as Prabhupada said, has no impediment externally.
I was in Vrindavan.
I was
at Krishna Balaram Temple, and I noticed there was, I think it was probably the first group of Chinese devotees that came. And I'd seen them ecstatic in kirtan. They had all bought devotional clothes and everything. And then it must have been the day they were leaving. They were all back into their street clothes because they couldn't go back, I guess, as devotees. But they were all paying their obeisances. And I was thinking, I wish I could pay my obeisances like that. That they actually had such intense love because they're feeling that separation, that they weren't going to be around devotees, that they were having to go back to this difficult situation, that their devotion was so strong. And it just like emanated when I saw them. It was just really emotional. So sometimes it can increase.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of emotion is fine. I mean,
okay.
And on the other hand, we may have the liberty to go and spread Krishna consciousness in America. There's a Bill of Rights and everyone has freedom of speech and religion. And then we may squander it. It'd be maybe like, oh, maybe I'll do it some other time, let somebody else do it. So it's a great reminder to see others who don't have the freedom, to remember that we should take advantage while we have a window, because the modes of nature don't always keep the window open. Sometimes it can slam shut and you don't know what you got till it's gone.
One thing I will add is the fact that if someone has a choice and they make a decision, that's actually something very powerful to that. Whereas if you only have one choice, not that that's what this other situation is, that's not much of a choice. So if you do have all these opportunities to do so many things and you do make a choice and a commitment, I mean, in one sense, that's what Krishna's looking for.
I was thinking that Krishna is eternally Sharat. He's completely independent by his own right, eternally. But until the soul comes back to realize that they are also complete, but their completeness not by their own independent right. Their completeness is when they are dependent on Krishna. And it's required a little time. We got a lot of people are joining and they are coming to this understanding. But to be independent is not wrong, but like Vaishashi Prabhu other day, he gave an example. He found one screw. I don't know if he made it up or actually found it. He found a tiny screw and he was like looking at it. He was looking at it and, oh, you were part of the big machine, was running so smooth. And then he compared himself as a little screw. So it's a fact though, it's a very fact that Krishna is completely complete, independently, eternally. We also want completeness. That's why the whole fight of freedom or independence, ultimately we want to feel completeness. But I like the example Prabhupada gave that if a finger has a function, so I was thinking like, I was taking Prabhupada's words, like, okay, what do I do with the finger? I can write, I can grab something, I can move something, I can eat. Yeah, that's right, eating. So many things. But if the finger is cut off from the body, what is the functionality and utility of the finger? Useless. So functionality and utility or feeling completeness as long the finger is connected with the body. So similarly, the soul until it comes to Krishna consciousness, there is no, the war will be there eternally. It's not like we are in a wrong place. The material world is always will be wrong place. It will never be complete place until they become Krishna consciousness.
You should go out and collect a lot of screws today.
Yeah.
Put them all back in the machine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.